Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of healing. Today is the day of deliverance. Our God is mighty to save. There is nothing He cannot do. Nothing that He cannot do. Amen. Oh, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said all things, not some things, but all things are possible to them that believe. Did I not tell you if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's what He said. And then He raised Lazarus from the dead. Thank You, Jesus. Do you believe that God is not limited by anything natural or spiritual? Amen. He's Lord of all. He has supremacy. Amen. Lord, for God has highly exalted Jesus. Amen. Given Him the name above. Amen. Hallelujah. So we call upon the Lord, amen, the Most High. Hallelujah. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. And He is risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, reign in me. Reign in us. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, say, Lord, reignite the flame in me. Thank You, Lord. More love. Remember that? More of You, Lord, in my life. More love, more power. More of You in my life. Okay, you want to lead it? More love, more power. More of You in my life. I will worship You with all of my heart. I will worship You with all of my mind, and I will worship You with all of my strength, for You are my Lord. You are my Lord. More love, more power, more of You in my life. All I need is more of You. Nothing I desire, Lord, but more of You. So in order for You to have more of Him, You have to give more of You to Him. That means You've got to completely surrender it all to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know that He didn't just purchase your soul, but your body as well? The whole of you, your body, soul, and spirit. Amen. So the whole part of us needs to be given back to God. That's what Romans 12 says. Present your bodies, right, as living sacrifices for His service. We're called to serve. Amen? It's more blessed to serve than to be served. Amen. How many would agree it's more blessed to serve than to serve, or to be served, right? Than to be served. It's more blessed to serve than to be served. Yeah. All right. Hallelujah. How many are serving the Lord? All right. It's the blessed life, amen, when you're serving the Lord. Hallelujah. He wants you to be a blessing in this world. In order for us to be a blessing, we must be blessed. So it's okay to ask God to bless you, because you can't do it without His blessing. You can't be a blessing without His blessing. Come on. Again, God doesn't bless us because we're spiritual. But He blesses us to make us spiritual. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Who's our righteousness? Amen. Hallelujah. We want to know You better, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. You know what we need to do is we just need to hit the reset button right now. Everybody's talking about the great reset. How about doing a great reset in your own heart and say, you know what? I'm hitting the reset button right here and right now, and I'm canceling out the past. Amen? It's under the blood. I don't have to live in shame or regret anymore. I'm hitting the reset right now. I'm saying, Lord, thank You for the cross. Thank You for Your blood. I receive forgiveness, amen, and a cancellation of every debt, amen, because You paid for it in full for me. And now I can live in the fullness of who You are. Hallelujah. I can walk in joy today. I can walk with peace today because the Lord is my peace. He is our love. I'm not acting more loving. I'm becoming more loving as I yield more and more to Him who is love. As my life is filled with Him, amen, then my life will become more loving. It will be the fruit of Him and not the fruit of me. Hallelujah. Quit struggling. That's why Jesus said to all the people that were under the harshness of the law and the teachers of the law, He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Ah, thank You, Lord. So just lean back in His arms and just let go. Just let go. Let it go. Hallelujah. Today is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. So this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just hit the reset button and say, okay, from here on out, I'm making that fresh commitment, amen, to follow Jesus. And by His grace, I will be able to live for Him. And because of His grace, I am who I am today. Not because I'm anything special, but because He's special, amen. And He's made me somebody. Isn't that good? Isn't that freeing to know? You don't have to be under religious bondage and obligation and, you know, where so many are putting people in the prison of performance, and you got to adhere to all these rules. Under the law, there was all these rules, probably thousands of rules, if you went down to straining out gnats even, right, to the Pharisee. But it was complete bondage. You see, what was missing was life. They had good and bad, right and wrong. Amen. Some of them had that down to a T. But what they didn't have was life. And Jesus said, I came that you might have life. And when you experience the life of God, it changes you. And then you become one of those crazy charismatic types that give God praise. And you're praising God in Walmart. You're praising God throughout your day because you're in a happy place. You got to go to your happy place. Amen. And it's not Bud Light. Let's not go any further with that one. You got to get into the happy place, and the happy place is in Christ. Amen. In Him we are complete. He is our joy. Let's get back to the simplicity of what this is really about. Jesus. How many can feel God's presence here today? And the reason why the Lord is here is because we wanted Him to be here. Amen. And He will possess anyone that's willing to open their heart and allow Him to come in. Amen. And He's here because He wants to work a wonder. He wants to bring transformation. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring deliverance. He wants to break the yoke of the oppressor. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus came that we might have life. Hallelujah. So tell your face you have joy today. Isn't it interesting when we sing that song, I've got the joy, joy, joy? You start feeling joy. Why? Because you're agreeing with something that is a reality. If Christ is in you, then you already have joy. But you need to learn how to draw from the resources of Him. Amen. And He is our joy. He doesn't give us just stuff. Well, here's a little joy and there a little love and a little peace. He gives us Himself. He is love. He is joy. He is peace. And when we abide in Him who is love and joy and peace, we have love, joy, and peace. We express love, joy, and peace. I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. Who's that? I know you wanted to keep going with that, but love, joy, health, peace. He has made it mine, right? Hallelujah. Guys, God wants joyful, if you will, happy campers. We are campers, are we not? We're sojourners. We're travelers on a journey. Amen. We're in the boot camp of eternity. Amen. So don't get your tent pegs down too deep in this world. All right. We need to live as a pilgrim people. We're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Amen. Remember the old hymn, Lord, lift us up. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith in heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith in heaven's stable land, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Another verse says, I want to live above the world. All right? Those Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith hath caught the joyful sound, the sound of what saints on higher ground. You know, God's peace is supernatural. The peace this world gives us is conditional, isn't it? Upon how well things are going. Externally. Oh, what a beautiful morning. The sun's out. The birds are singing. Oh, man, is it raining again today? Is it ever going to the sun ever come out? Man, I hate living in this place. And to the downcast, all their days are evil. It's your perspective on life. See, God wants you to know His joy in the midst of everything. He wants you to know His peace. He wants you to know, amen, the stability of that assurance that He gives us. And no matter what's happening externally, we have a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil rob you of what God has for you. He said, I will prepare a table for you where in the presence of your enemies. Yeah. So the enemy's there, but he can't touch it. And you have access to his table. You can dine in his presence in what? In the midst of your enemies. They surround, but they can't touch you. There is a place of quiet rest. It's called the secret place of the Most High. And he invites us, because of the blood of Jesus, we can come and we can find mercy and grace to help us. All we need is available freely, given to us in Christ. Amen. I keep praying, Lord, bring the water level up even higher. Amen. I don't like just splashing around in the kiddie pool. We want to get into the deep end with God. Amen. You have to let it all go and just kind of give God the whole thing. Amen. Get over yourself. Do yourself a favor. Get over the opinions of people around you. Do yourself a favor. And pursue God with all that's within you. Seek and you shall find. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to get to that, by the way. I want to talk today about our responsibility as builders. God is looking for builders. The title of the message is, The Lord is Looking for Builders. He's looking for laborers. He's looking for those who will partner with him in his mission in the earth. And the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are loyal to him. If God has been good to you, then our response should be to be good back to God. Amen. And how do we do that? By loving others, serving others, blessing others. When you bless people who you see, you're blessing him who you don't see. Serving the Lord is a privilege. It's an honor. We get to serve him. It's a joy to serve the Lord. If you're serving God according to his will for your life, you will have joy in your journey. It doesn't mean you won't have difficulties and opposition. It'll mean that his joy will sustain you through it all. He will take you to a higher place where you're able to endure all things. You will be able to say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the will of God, you will have the grace to sustain you in the will. Amen. To fulfill the calling in your life. The Lord is looking for builders. These are some reasons why people don't fulfill God's will for their lives. I'm going to list them out and then I'm going to go through them. The first one is that their minds are fixed on this world. Secondly, they struggle with guilt and shame. Some people won't serve the Lord because they struggle with guilt and shame. Another one is the fear of man. People won't serve the Lord because of fear of man. Unbelief, because of a lack of faith. And, well, kind of goes with the first one, a preoccupation with other things, idols, other things that have entered in that have replaced God in your heart. So you're not interested in the things of God anymore. You're only interested in the things of the world. How many know that a Christian can get seduced by the world and caught up in the world and choked by the world? And if we don't guard ourselves, we can find ourselves there. Because there are many allurements. The enemy is a master at deception, of distraction, of getting us preoccupied with lesser things or other things. See, I say it often, but the devil wants to take the worship away from God to himself. So he wants you to listen to his voice. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in a place where we're not even aware of it anymore, but we're actually blind to our true condition. There are people that are blind to their true spiritual condition. And you're not going to be able to see your true spiritual condition unless the Lord removes the veil and allows you to see it. God wants us to follow Him, amen, to be led of His Spirit, to bear fruit. We were called, amen, to build. We were called to co-labor with Jesus in the earth. When you were saved, if you're saved, then you were also called, amen, to serve. As an act of gratitude, out of appreciation for what God has done in my life, I am to offer my body back to Him now. And I'm to live the rest of my days for His service. When Paul found himself alone in a Roman prison for his testimony of Jesus, he longed for fellowship with other believers. So he wrote this letter to Timothy, his son in the Lord. In 2 Timothy 4:9, he said, "Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Christians has gone to Galatia, and Titus has gone to Dalmatia." What is he saying? I'm all alone. All those who once walked with me have forsaken me. They've left me. But he talked specifically about Demas here having deserted him. Why? Because he was more interested in the temporary things of life than he was in the mission of God. Actually, he loved his life in this world more than his purpose in this world. And you know, any of us can be just like Demas here. When things begin to get tough, when things get heated up, when there's opposition, when there's persecution, when things begin to become difficult, let's put it that way, you'll find out who you really are. Or how quickly you can crumble under the pressure, even the pressure of political correctness, for example. Because they were in a time of great persecution and even political opposition to the church. Paul is incarcerated, and these Roman prisons were nothing like our prisons. Not that our prisons are nice, but this is a lot worse. And he finds himself alone, and the people that were once with him, they didn't want anything to do with him because they didn't want to be guilty by association. Are you hearing me, somebody? So he longed for this fellowship, and so he wrote this letter to Timothy. You know, one of the most painful things that you and I can experience is the loss of a friend who we once walked with and had sweet fellowship with, and amen, even shared in the life of Jesus together with. And have you ever lost anybody like that? That one time you were really close to someone, and sometimes as a believer, we can find ourselves in a crowd and still feel alone. But, you know, if you decide to set your heart to follow Jesus, you're going to find there are not many that are willing to join you at that level of commitment. So they will avoid you. Christians will avoid Christians that are sold out for Jesus, because they're not willing to go where you're going. And they're not willing to make that level of commitment that you've made. And because of that, they will avoid you. People who love this world, who are still ensnared by this temporary world, are you hearing me? Have a hard time fully letting go. But life is in letting go of the temporary, that you may gain the eternal. Life is in a denial of self, not a fulfillment of self, but a denial of self, that you might be available for the mission of God, that you might be able to take up your cross, if you will, and to what? Follow Jesus. So know this, that sometimes when you are really sold out for Jesus, amen, and you really have a heart to live for Jesus, people are going to think it kind of odd, and maybe think you're a little bit on the strange side, and even people within the church will become critical of you while you're just a little bit carried away in this whole Jesus thing. As I heard somebody once say, you just got a little bit too much religion for me. Now, we know we're not peddling religion at all, are we? But when you're in love with somebody, you know what? You don't care what the world thinks. Amen. You're not swayed by people's opinions. When you're in love with somebody, you want to be with that person. Amen. And you're willing to go all the way. You're willing to sacrifice for people you really love. John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Again, Demas had left Paul when things got tough. And guys, God is looking for nothing less than a full-on commitment from every one of us in this room. Full-on commitment. When you enter into a covenant, when you enter into a marriage covenant, you're saying that everything I have is now yours. Everything you have is mine. I am your property and you are mine. It's no longer a me thing, but it's now a we thing. Amen. So when we come to Jesus and we enter into this covenant, we are saying, my life for you now. My life to be lived for you now. Are you hearing me? I'm not to have any other lovers, no other gods before you. But my life is now committed to you to live for your honor. God is looking for those who will be loyal and those who will be committed. Another reason why people don't fulfill God's will for their life is they struggle with guilt, guilty conscience. And guilt will keep a person out of fellowship with other believers. Huh? Ever been that way where you didn't want to be around other believers because you just felt guilty about something? And how many know that's one of the tactics the enemy uses? The best place for you to be is with believers. But he tries to isolate the sheep, single them out. Put him on a guilt trip because he knows an isolated sheep is vulnerable to the attack of the wolf. How many know there's security in the flock? Jesus told us to gather, didn't he? It can even keep us out of fellowship, amen, with God himself. How many believe that fellowship with Christians is necessary for growth? Ephesians 4:16, he, speaking of Christ, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Do you see how we're called to serve? We're called to commit to one another. We're family, amen? And family is supposed to take care of itself, amen? 1 John 1:7, how many remember this one? But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You remember Adam tried to hide from God because of sin guiltiness. Proverbs 28:1 said, the wicked run away when no one is chasing them. But the godly are as bold as lions. Sometimes Christians have contentions with other Christians or disagreements with other Christians. And so they will begin to maybe put a label on somebody, or they'll begin to maybe speak with bitter, I don't know, contempt against a brother or sister. They may rail against a brother or sister. Sometimes it's because that person actually was offended and they allowed the offense to get into their heart. And now it's beginning to grow up and they're becoming bitter. And eventually what's in the heart comes out of the mouth. And then we start to slander and to belittle and to put down and to get on Facebook and say all kinds of nice things about people. True? That's why I'm not on Facebook. Not to say you don't have to be on there, but I'm just saying for me, I'm not on Facebook for a reason. I don't need to know all everybody's garbage and everybody's laundry list and all the drama. What a perfect place for a drama queen and king, too. But sometimes, you know, when we have a disagreement, listen, guys, if you are right in the situation, then you should have a godly boldness that will enable you to confront the situation in love. Amen. And have a talk with that person. Sometimes people are good at talking about somebody behind their back, but not so much to their face. But if we love, then we're going to go and try to reconcile, if possible, to that individual that we might have received an offense from. Because if we have a just cause, if we are righteous in our belief, then God's boldness will be upon you to be able to confront it. That's not meaning getting loud and arrogant. It means to, in firmness and gentleness and respect, to be able to go and have a conversation and talk something out. Amen. Instead of just walking away wounded. But if you have a righteous cause, the Bible is very clear, you will be bold in what you believe. If you are in right standing with God, you will have boldness about your convictions. But if you're unsure about that, then you won't. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse our conscience. I'm so glad that I came to Jesus, amen, that in the messed up state I was in, and I was able to find some relief for my conscience, because I was tormented by it. And Jesus took it all away, set me free, gave me a clean slate, a brand new beginning, a new heart, put His Spirit within me. Hallelujah. So now I can have faith in Him, confident assurance. Not because I'm good, but because of the goodness of God and because the blood of Christ availed for me. Amen. He's no longer holding my past against me. Praise God. Amen. There is the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. Amen. To the cleansing of the guilty conscience. God doesn't want His people living in guilt. Why? Because guilt will prevent you from living out the will of God for your life. There's no reason for a child of God to be living in guilt any longer. Do you believe that Jesus paid it all? Do you believe that His blood washes away all sin? Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And you shall be saved. You'll be rescued even from guilt and from shame. Hallelujah. I don't put my confidence in my goodness, but in His goodness and in His faithfulness to do what He said He would do, what He promised in His word, that if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm a child of God. Hebrews 10:22, how many know this one? Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Another reason why people don't fulfill the will of God for their life is fear. Fear is a factor, isn't it? It's something that we must overcome. And in particular, the fear of man. People will not serve the Lord because of fear of man. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. What does the fear of man do? Well, it causes us to yield to human pressure, to commit evil. How many here have compromised your morals, compromised what you knew was right because of peer pressure, because somebody put you on the spot? And because you caved to the fear of man, you ended up doing something that was even in violation of what you really believed to be right. How many know that people are out in the streets today right now? Many of them are just caught up in the hive mind, going along with the crowd. Many people are pretending that they believe in something that deep in their heart they do not. But because of fear of man, they go along with the crowd. Are you hearing me, somebody? And God wants to liberate his people from fear of man. Amen. Because the righteous, those who are righteous in Christ, are as bold as a lion. Amen. The fear of man is a trap. I wonder how many people have gone to hell because they were afraid of what their friends would say if they trusted Christ. I wonder how many young people that thought they had years ahead of them didn't realize that their life would be short and one day it was all over. But because of fear of their peers, they would not confess Jesus Christ. How many know that Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father in heaven. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, you're not ashamed of the one that you love. Matthew 10:32, here it is. Therefore, what? Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, the Lord said this to the prophet Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. How many know this scripture? Before you were born, I sanctified you, set you apart. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. He didn't call himself. He didn't go to a seminary and become a professional. He was ordained by God, called by God. Amen. And then he said in verse 6, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. What'd the Lord say? Oh, I'm sorry, Jeremiah. Maybe I made a mistake. No. He said, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. And then verse 8, he gives them this promise. Do not be afraid of their faces. For what? I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Do not be afraid of them. Do not fear the people, because I am with you and I will take care of you. Amen. I'll deliver you. How many know the early church had been threatened by the chief priests and the elders to remain silent concerning the gospel? In Acts 4:18, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. How many know that's starting to happen again in America, where they're trying to tell you, the speech police are trying to tell you, you can't talk about these things. You can't pray in certain places. Amen. You can't mention the name of Jesus here. Whose authority are we under here? Who holds the ultimate authority? Amen. So any law that contradicts the authority of God is an illegal law. And we're living in lawless times, but we need to be faithful to the one, amen, to whom every one of us will give an account, including those who deny him and try to tell others they can't talk about him. They will also have their day in court, for every knee will bow to him and every tongue will confess. Today is the day of salvation. If they will repent, they too can be saved. In Acts 4:29, they said, oh, Lord, look on their threats. What did they do? They prayed, right? They called on the name of the Lord. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And listen, verse 31, I love this. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God sheepishly. They spoke the word of God with boldness. It's the Lord who will make you bold. It's the Lord who will make you strong. Amen. You and I do not have the strength, the ability, amen, to be an effective servant or witness for Jesus. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Spirit of God, amen, even as in the early church, whenever they were threatened, they would call on the Lord, and the Lord would fill them, amen, and embolden them so that they could speak out against the opposition with boldness. In the New Testament, we're commanded, not suggested, to remain filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yeah. Another reason why people don't fulfill the will of God in their life is because of mistrust. In our lives, we've been wounded. We've learned not to trust. And sometimes that translates into our walk with God. We have to guard against that because the Lord is the one who can be trusted at all times. Hebrews 11:6 says it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So how do we get faith? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So wherever there's a lack of faith, there must also be a lack of the word of God, or a lack of trust in the word of God. See, there are those who do hear the word, but the word's not mixed with faith. And therefore, it does them no good. How many know we need to be more than just hearers of the word, but doers? Ancient Israel, they had the word of God preached to them. But most did not enter into the Lord's rest in the land of Canaan, due to unbelief. They heard the word. They heard what God said. They even heard what God promised. But because of a lack of faith, the doubt, the unbelief, they were not able to receive the promise of rest in the land. And many of them compromised with the nations that were in the land, the pagan nations that surrounded them. Instead of dispossessing them and driving them out, they entered into covenants with them. They began to compromise with the world. And as a result, they found themselves being tormented by the spirit of the enemy. See, God wanted them to have rest. In order to have rest in your own spirit, you're going to have to drive out anything that is not of God. Are you hearing me? Anything that is not of God needs to go. There are not to be any spirits, amen, operating in my life, amen, except the one Holy Spirit. How do we get faith? By listening to the word of God, believing the word of God. Hebrews 4:2 says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith and those who heard it. In other words, again, they didn't believe it. And because they didn't believe it, they didn't act upon it. When you believe the word of God, you will act upon the word of God. The writer's not talking about intellectual faith either, is he? But saving faith of the heart. There's a difference. Some people say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I believe in, you know, those things. But they don't have saving faith. There's a difference. How many know that saving faith will produce a change of heart, which will result in a change of life, a change of direction? James 2:19, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by his works faith was made perfect or complete? So having potential and reaching your potential are two different things. Everybody's born with potential. As a matter of fact, everyone, unbelievers as well, are given certain attributes and gifts from God, the Father. Amen. Naturally, people are gifted. The question is, what do you do with what you have? Do you sit on it out of fear? Or do you take what God has given you and you bless others with it? When God invests in a person, amen, he gives us a stewardship, a responsibility to be faithful to the gift that he gave us. Amen. And there will be accountability someday as to what we have done with what we had. Having divided affections will not reach, we will not reach our full potential in God. You know, you can't serve two masters, isn't that what Jesus said? Much of the church, I believe, in America has been, and I think there's an awakening. Things are beginning to shift. Things are beginning to change. And I pray it's beginning to happen in us. Amen, as well. But I've been preoccupied with other things. How many know there's nothing new under the sun? In Haggai's day, verse 2, chapter 1, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. How many know that the temple is a type of the body of Christ? You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God has invested in every one of us something that we are to use to build up the body of Christ. We are to be in the process of advancing his kingdom interests in the earth because we are ambassadors who have been assigned by God, amen, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. And each one of us has been given a certain responsibility and a certain investment from the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that we would take what we have and invest it in the hearts and the lives of others around us so that mutually and together we will grow into a temple of praise. We corporately are the temple of God. You know that. God does not dwell in temples made by hands. We are his building. So God is looking for builders to be involved in building up, amen, his household, his habitation, which is you and I. We are the habitation of God in the Spirit, amen. God's desire is to build his church. And guess what? He uses human beings, human vessels, flawed human beings in this process. We mentioned this morning. I've been talking about this the last couple of weeks. But according to Jesus, if you're not gathering, you're going to end up scattering. Luke 11:23, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. As someone once said, a man is either on the way or in the way. Either on the way or in the way. Now think about what he said here. He's saying if you are living a neutral life, you're going to end up causing problems. Instead of building, you're going to be scattering. Why? Because idleness makes you a target for the enemy. Every one of us, when we are born again, we are assigned, amen, a place in the family of God, in the body of Christ, or if you will, in the army of God. We have been given orders by our commander in chief. We've been assigned a certain task, a certain responsibility, a certain duty. And if everyone is in their place doing what they're supposed to do, as a unit, we will have effectiveness and destroying the works of the devil and advancing the kingdom of our God, amen, in the earth. But if we are not engaged, if one soldier is not doing what they're supposed to do, the whole unit can suffer. Is that right, Carl? Everyone needs to be in their place doing what they're called to do. And the reason why I'm sharing this today, guys, is because God has called us to this time and place, amen. He's brought us here for a reason. This is His work. This is what God is doing. God is actually putting pieces together here. He's bringing in, if you will, the pieces of the puzzle. And our responsibility is to discover where does each piece fit. And how can I maximize what God has invested in me? How can I go and trade with my gift, amen, and bring an increase that I might present it to Jesus in that day, not coming with my hands empty, but with an offering, amen, of gratitude. I give myself to serve Him and bring a return to Him, amen, by investing my gift. Amen. And especially in building up the body of Christ. God's called us to this place. It's not an accident that you're here today. God is bringing people to us. God is bringing children, precious children, and He's giving us a responsibility to make sure that they are taken care of, that they are discipled, amen, that they are raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. God is looking for those of us, amen, who are willing to commit ourselves to serve, all right, one another. And one of the ways that we can do that is to serve our children. Listen, guys. When I started out in ministry, you know, I understood the value of fellowship, of being with God's people. But God began to redirect my thinking after a while, and I started to realize, you know what? There's a lot of people here that are being neglected. They're not being paid attention to. The children, amen, we're often just tossed aside. Oh, go play. Go do your thing over here. Are you hearing me? And it was very obvious to me that the children were not a priority. And so I decided, you know what? I don't consider myself to be a child minister. In fact, I struggle sometimes with kids, but God gave me a guitar, amen, and a talent. And I thought, you know what? I can at least lead praise and worship for the kids, you know. And so I began to commit myself wherever I saw a need, amen. I began to get involved. Hallelujah, amen. And so I understood, yeah, I like being with the main body, you know, but these children over here are just as important, amen, and they're precious, and I can do something to make a difference in their lives. And what an opportunity, amen, that God would bring children here even, where we can say, you know what, I can be an instrument for God, amen, to invest in these children, amen, and that their life might be changed. They'll become more like Jesus, amen. We need workers. We need builders here. We need some of the old guard. You have the experience. You have the word. Amen. Come on. We've been well taught over the years. God's made an investment. Amen. We're looking for someone. They'll say, you know what? I'm going to take some of what God has given me and I'm going to start investing it in this generation. I'm going to start pouring into our teenagers, pouring into our youth. Amen. Because God has called me. Amen. Not just to myself, but to others. Jesus said it is more blessed to serve than to be served. The will of God comes with a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. But I want you to hear something. God is in the sacrifice. God will honor the sacrifice. That's why they gave God offerings. They brought sacrifices to God first. Amen. And then they called on the Lord and the glory of God came and filled the temple. God is calling every one of us to be a living sacrifice, to offer our bodies back to him for his service. Amen. And to begin to serve one another. Amen. Serve the children. We need children's workers. We need someone that will step up and say, Lord, here am I. Use me. I'm willing to commit myself. I'm willing to be uncomfortable. I'm willing to make a long drive every Sunday. Amen. So that these children can be fed. But we need workers. We need helpers. Amen. God is calling his church to rise up and take responsibility for those that he's bringing. Amen. Do you want to see more and more come to Jesus? You want to see this house filled with children? Amen. Then we all need to get on board with this. We all need to be sowing into their hearts. Amen. We all need to be praying for our children. Amen. Supporting our workers. And wherever God is leading you, you need to be faithful to that. How many times? Oh, I just don't feel led. What it is your flesh doesn't want to be uncomfortable. And that's why we have to overcome our flesh. Serving the Lord is a joy, but there's sacrifice. And it's hard sometimes. Amen. There's a cost to it. But I found that whenever I overrid my sensual desires to be comfortable, amen, to do what God has called me to do, that the glory of God would be there. The presence of God would be there. The joy and the strength of the Lord would be there. What I needed would be there. Amen. Jesus said, wherever I am, there my servant will be also. And we've got to learn how to get out of ourself. Amen. So that we can begin to serve one another. Hallelujah. Guys, we need examples. We all should be an example to one another. We all should be coming together as often as possible. Amen. And being here. Hallelujah. How many know that people are encouraged when they see you? How many here would agree with me that it's good to see a full house here? Yeah. So in order to have a full house, you have to be here. And certainly I have to be here. But guys, we have enough people here. We have enough workers here to be able to have a well-functioning children's program with plenty of workers and helpers. It doesn't mean you have to be here every week, but there are many of us here, amen, that are capable, amen, that have been qualified because God has already been investing in you all these years, something that you can share, amen, with these children. And God is asking for workers. He's looking for laborers, for builders, amen. When we have family come in, they've come in with children. Amen. Where are the kids at? Well, they're not here because there's no kids. Now hear me. Somebody has to be willing to stay. Are you hearing me? And be patient and pray. Everything begins with a seed. Just keep on praying, keep on watering, keep standing in there, stand in the gap and wait on God's timing. Because God is bringing workers, God is bringing laborers, God's bringing people in, amen, that are going to be serving, all right? Even our children. God is also calling some of us here, amen, to get up and join, amen, in what's happening down in the children's church. God's calling us out of our comfort zone. Hallelujah. This is about advancing God's agenda, God's kingdom. It's not about me. But let me hear you say, you know, people attract people. You attract people. You are able to reach people I can't. Amen? If every one of us would be mindful that we are missionaries in this world, every one of us is a missionary. We're on mission. If each one would reach one, amen. Just one. We're talking about building the kingdom. building up the body of Christ, that the Lord might be glorified. In Haggai's day, the problem was they all said, well, they knew it was a good thing to build the temple. Amen? They probably didn't disagree with that. Yeah, it's just not time yet. One of these days, I will commit to the work, but just not right now. And so everybody ran off to their own paneled houses, just focusing on their own business. And while the temple of God lay in ruins because of neglect, they had begun to build. They had laid the foundation. The altar was there. They had built for 2 years. And because of certain things that happened, discouragement or whatever else, the enemy came in and started to talk to people. And they started to listen to that wrong voice. And they decided, well, it must not be worth any more sacrifice. I've done enough. Are you hearing me? And so then it laid for, I think, about another 14 years. It had been laying just dormant. And the Lord was upset with them because they knew what he wanted, and yet they neglected to prioritize the work of God over their own business. Do you understand what we're doing here today should be a prioritize? It should be a priority over everything else that we do. This is God's business. Every child of God should be involved in the building up of the body of Christ. And if everybody does their part, we will have cohesiveness, we will have strength, we'll have unity, amen, and we'll have effectiveness in advancing the kingdom of God and destroying the works of the devil. Hallelujah. It's time to rise. I don't want to be a scatterer, I want to be a gatherer. And so in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, go up to the mountains. Here's the application of this. And bring wood and what? Build the temple. First thing, go up to the mountains, then bring wood and build the temple. That I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You and I are the temple of God. He's saying, I want you to turn fully back to me. You need to return to the source of all grace. Go up to the Lord. Amen. To the mountain of the Lord. Call upon his name. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get spiritually supplied. Get the wood. Get the supplies that you need for the building. Amen. And then build the temple or engage in the work of the Lord. Turn to the Lord fully. Repent. Amen. Call upon his name. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and then engage in the work of the Lord. Come on, somebody. So God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who enables you. Amen. God sometimes will call you into something that to you may be something that I don't ever considered doing. I can remember having a Sunday school teacher at the last church I was at. She said, one day I was called to fill in the children's church. So I went down there for one Sunday. 14 years later, she's still serving that class. Amen. Praying faithful to God and enjoying the whole journey. Amen. Knowing that she's making the difference in the lives of these children. Hallelujah. That God had entrusted to her. Every one of us should be paying attention to the children in our own families and our own lives. Amen. But also the ones that God is bringing in this house. So we have something for them when they come. Amen. We want to make sure we're fed, yes, but we need to make sure these children are fed, amen, as well. Because they're very important. They're very important to us, and they're mostly important to God, amen. Well, I'm going to stop right there because I could go on. How many here would agree that the words that I've spoke today are truth? Amen. All right. How many here would say, just by standing up,
that I'm willing to commit myself and recommit myself to the building up of the body of Christ, to be faithful, to recommit myself to this work, amen, and to those that God has brought into my life. Would you just say yes by standing up if you want to recommit your life to the work, the building, amen. Hallelujah. Don't stand up unless you mean it. Hallelujah. All right. I think every one of us understands, right? In order to be a follower of Jesus, the first thing we must do is deny ourselves. In other words, Lord, it doesn't matter about me anymore. What do you want? What would you have me to do? We have to be willing to be uncomfortable at times that we might do the will of God. Hallelujah. I want you to take a moment, if you would, right now to talk to the Lord and ask him, Lord, is there something that I can do? What is it that you would have me to do? Ask the Holy Spirit. What is it that he's called you to do? What can you do to make a difference? I can tell you the first thing is to be faithful in attendance and being here, coming together, gathering as often as possible. But specifically, God is already, and some of you, he's already been speaking to you. He's been stirring something up within you, a desire, a holy desire. You're seeing, you're beginning to understand the importance of what we're doing here, that this is not my work, but it's his work. Would you be willing to commit yourself to Jesus to do what he's called you to do? Would you just talk to the Lord right now and say, Lord, I recommit myself to you and to your work and for whatever you want me to do, Lord. Lord Jesus, make me a willing vessel for you. Lord, change my heart that my heart will be true to you and that I'll have a willingness to do everything you've called me to do. Lord, I ask you to make your will my desire. Stir me, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Bring me to full flame. Revive me, Lord, and give me boldness. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now listen to that voice that just spoke to you. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. And I want you, Brenda, would you come up here? And Marcy's not here today, but Brenda has been faithful. How many years? I so appreciate these guys. They drive all the way from Lakewood here. But she's come and she's been so faithful and so committed to these children that she's just given her of herself for all these years to come. And I know that she's the real deal. She'd be down there. She's working a lot of times behind the scenes. She's not out trying to make a name for herself. She just loves Jesus and she loves the children. And she's been serving. She'll be down there with the worship music going on. I know she's just getting in the spirit and get prepared when the children are coming in. And it's her burden as well that we have workers, we have helpers, and we work together as a family. That we're turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, amen? And the children to the fathers. That's not just a children's thing, go off and play. But Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom, amen? So we want to see our children thrive. We want to see our children on fire for God. We want to see our children, amen, sent out as little fire starters, amen, little evangelists, hallelujah, laying hands on the sick, amen, casting out devils in Jesus' name. We need revival, amen, in us and in our children. And God is calling upon all of us to be involved in some way, amen, to help support the children's ministry. Would you just share what's on your heart for us and what you'd like to see?
We need people to come downstairs. Even if everybody came down once a year, that would be such a blessing. I've struggled with the Lord on... I totally understand Martha in the Bible. And I've learned a lot about her burden and, you know, seeing Mary at the feet of Jesus while she's in working. You know, I've asked people in the past to come downstairs or to fill in. and they say, I feel like I need to be upstairs in the worship service. And I so know that. I need to be in there too. None of us should feel like Martha where we're stuck anywhere. And we just need people to come downstairs, love on the children. They have such a heart for their friends. They want to share with Jesus, but they don't know how. They don't know that it's okay to talk about God in school. The school system is telling them that it is a crime for them to mention God, the Bible, Jesus in school to their friends. And that's a lie, even in this town.
Yes, it is.
And this school district, I don't know all of them. I don't live here. But I know this one down the street here is... I don't know the teachers there. I don't know the administration. But what they've done to the children in the last 10 years that come into this church is just heartbreaking. This is America. We should have the freedom to speak about God.
Amen.
Even our children. I'm not talking about teaching or turning it into a Christian school. But they need our support to know what's right.
Good.
And I have seen God moved downstairs in such a massive way, almost like up here where you're up here. You feel the holiness. You feel people are slain in the spirit. I get blessed every time I hear Sister Paula dancing on the floor. I'm like, God, she is, because I know it's her, because that's all I hear downstairs is the footsteps. No, don't feel, you know, to feel bad, but that's all I get to hear aside from music once in a while. And it's just a blessing to see the children. And I'd also say that if you're kind of like, I don't know anything, the curriculum's great at helping you out and also teaching you. I have never been discipled. I've never been to college. I've never been to ministry of anything, which I don't want to. I want to be taught by God. And he's taught me great things. There's times where pastors or ministers will share a Bible story and go, oh, he got that wrong. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Because, God is God, you know. And he has a point of everything. So if you're willing to talk to me or Marcy or even Paula, she's downstairs with the children today, it's a great time to step up, even if it's just once. Yeah. You know, once or twice, that would be great.
Amen.
Thank
you, Brenda.
It's really super, super, super easy. If you have grandkids or children, if you even talk to children, you're already trained.
And even, you know, for those who may not have children, here's a family for you, you know. Here's an opportunity for you as well, you know. Or your children are grown up. But, you know, God is giving us an opportunity here. And I believe that we all need to really commit, amen, to the Lord and what he has us to do within our capacity, of course. But I think you hear the heart of Brenda today. And these children are precious, amen. And we get to serve God. We get to serve these children. And it's not a babysitting service. It is a ministry, amen. Nursery is another one, amen. Since COVID, that thing has just been kind of sat there. And I understood at the time we were like, just let the parents, they need to take them out. They can take them out. But we're looking and praying that God will raise up laborers and workers and helpers. Amen. Now, if you're interested, get a hold of Brenda. All right. And let her know. Pray about it. Whatever you need to do. But Marcy, hopefully, will be back next week. And then Paula's down, of course, waiting for us to finish. But thank you all for coming, listening, being a part. And don't leave before we pray. Okay. But thank you for understanding that, you know, if we really, if you want to please the Lord, start serving, okay, his people. He said, build my temple that I may take pleasure in it. The Lord takes pleasure in those who serve him and his interests. Amen. Hallelujah.